Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best evidence rule is a fundamental principle in the law of evidence that governs the admissibility of written documents or recordings in court. This rule is codified in the Federal Rules of Evidence, FRE, under Rule 1002, which stipulates that to prove the content of a writing, recording, or photograph, the original writing, recording, or photograph is required, except as otherwise provided by the rules or by law. The essence of the best evidence rule is to prevent inaccuracies and fraud that might arise from relying on copies or secondary evidence, ensuring that the evidence presented in court is as reliable as possible. Definition of best evidence rule. The best evidence rule requires that, when a party seeks to prove the contents of a document, recording, or photograph, the original of that item must be produced in court. The term original refers to the actual document or recording itself, as opposed to a copy. This rule is predicated on the notion that the original piece of evidence is the most accurate and reliable source of information regarding its contents. By mandating the presentation of original evidence, the rule aims to preserve the integrity of the evidence and reduce the possibility of misunderstandings, alterations, or distortions that might occur with secondary reproductions. Requirement to produce original writing/recording. The requirement to produce the original document, recording, or photograph is based on the principle that the original is the best source of evidence about its contents. This requirement applies when the content of the document is directly in dispute or is relevant to the outcome of the case. For example, if the terms of a contract are at issue, the original contract document must be produced to prove what the parties agreed upon. However, the best evidence rule is not without exceptions. The FRE and various state laws provide several circumstances under which secondary evidence of a document's content may be admissible, such as loss or destruction. When an original document has been lost or destroyed without bad faith by the party seeking to use it, secondary evidence of the document's contents may be admitted. This exception acknowledges that unforeseen circumstances can prevent the availability of the original document. Courts generally require the proponent of the evidence to demonstrate diligent efforts were made to locate the original document and to provide a plausible explanation for its absence. In legal practice, demonstrating the loss or destruction typically involves presenting testimony or affidavits detailing the circumstances of the loss, the search efforts made, and any other relevant information. The threshold for proving loss or destruction is not insurmountably high, but requires more than a mere assertion of unavailability. The rationale behind this exception is fairness and practicality. It would be unjust to exclude relevant evidence simply because the original document was lost or destroyed through no fault of the party wishing to present it. However, the court may consider the circumstances of the loss and the possibility of bad faith in its determination to allow secondary evidence. Unavailability of the original. This exception covers situations where the original document cannot be obtained by any judicial process or procedure. It reflects an understanding that certain circumstances may render the original document inaccessible for reasons beyond the control of the party seeking to introduce evidence. This could be due to the document being located in a jurisdiction outside the court's subpoena power, or in a situation where the document is held by a non-cooperative third party who cannot be compelled to produce it. To invoke this exception, the proponent must typically show that reasonable steps have been taken to obtain the original and that its procurement is genuinely not feasible. This might include efforts to subpoena the document, to request it from holders, or to search relevant depositories where it might be expected to be found. The principle underpinning this exception is the necessity of evidence. It would be counter to the interests of justice to disallow important evidence simply because the original document is irretrievably beyond the reach of the court's process. Control by opposing party. When the original document is under the control of the opposing party, and they fail to produce it after proper notice, the court may allow the introduction of secondary evidence. This exception is premised on the principle of equity and fairness in litigation. It prevents a party from gaining an unfair advantage by withholding evidence that is critical to the other party's case. To utilize this exception, the party seeking to introduce the secondary evidence must have given the opposing party adequate notice and an opportunity to produce the original document. Notice requirements vary by jurisdiction, but generally involve a formal request or a motion compelling the production of the document. This exception reflects a strategic aspect of legal practice, where evidence management plays a crucial role. It also serves as a deterrent against obstructive behavior in litigation, by ensuring that a party cannot simply refuse to produce evidence to stymie the other party's case. Public records. Legal framework and rationale. Public records are documents that are filed or recorded by public officials as part of their duties or documents created by public agencies. The legal framework for admitting copies of public records as evidence is grounded in the recognition of the impracticality and potential risk of damage or loss associated with transporting original public documents to court. Moreover, public documents are presumed to have been created and maintained in the regular course of business, lending them an inherent trustworthiness. Certification process. To be admissible, copies of public records must be certified as correct by the public office where they are held. Certification involves a declaration, usually by the custodian of the records or another authorized official, that the copy is a true and accurate reproduction of the original record. This declaration is typically accompanied by an official seal or stamp. The certification process serves to verify the authenticity of the copy, thereby ensuring its reliability as evidence. Practical considerations and limitations. While certified copies of public records are generally admissible, there may be limitations based on jurisdictional rules or the specific nature of the records. Additionally, the opposing party may challenge the admissibility of a certified copy on grounds such as improper certification or questions about the underlying reliability of the record itself. Therefore, understanding the procedural requirements and potential challenges associated with using certified copies of public records is crucial for legal practitioners. Summaries. Legal basis and purpose. The use of summaries or charts in place of voluminous documents addresses the logistical challenges of presenting large volumes of complex data in court. Summaries provide a way to convey essential information in a more accessible and understandable form, which can be especially valuable in cases involving financial records, lengthy contracts, or extensive communications. Requirements for admissibility. For summaries to be admissible, the original documents must be available for examination by the opposing party. This requirement ensures that the summary is a fair and accurate representation of the detailed content it purports to condense. Additionally, the party presenting the summary must establish through testimony that the summary accurately reflects the content of the voluminous documents. This typically involves the testimony of a witness who is familiar with the original documents and the process of creating the summary. Creating effective summaries. The creation of an effective summary involves not only accurately condensing the relevant information, but also presenting it in a clear and organized manner. It may include highlighting key figures, dates, or terms, and using visual aids such as charts or graphs to illustrate complex information. The goal is to aid the court's understanding of the evidence without sacrificing accuracy or detail. Strategic considerations. The strategic use of summaries can greatly enhance the presentation of evidence, making complex data more comprehensible and engaging for the trier of fact. However, legal practitioners must also be prepared to defend the methodology used in creating the summary and to counter challenges from the opposing party regarding its accuracy or completeness. It's important to note that the best evidence rule applies only when the contents of the document are in question. If a fact could be proven through testimony without reference to the document's contents, the rule does not apply. Understanding the best evidence rule is crucial for legal practitioners, especially in preparing for the bar exam. This rule ensures that the evidence considered by the court is as close to the original source as possible, thereby safeguarding the accuracy and reliability of judicial proceedings. As you delve deeper into the study of evidence law, keep in mind the significance of the best evidence rule and its exceptions, as they are essential components of a fair and effective legal system.